Always Swollen to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Tim Miller, John Curcio, Jazz Ed Maja, Chris Fuchs, John Lloyd, Atif Sheik, Justin Maitner, Gavante Chillis, Molly Ficarella, Thomas Navin, Quentin Tracy, Mike Franz, Nathan McKenzie, Joe Mickendo, Trayvon Brady, Steve Rogers, Eddie Bissell, Cameron Minard, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Nicholas Casso, Tom Gerke, and Nicholas Fansler. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Swollen to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and I'm joined by Victoria Malley. What's up, Victoria?
Hey, good news, everyone. Dogs.
Dogs, yes. Dogs are the best. Am I right?
Oh, you're so right. You're so right.
So we're talking about Krypto. This is the first appearance of not Krypto. Einstein, this episode, goes on to be called Shelby. We'll talk about it.
He has a lot of personas in this episode.
Yeah, so I love dogs. I've had dogs my whole life in my family. My mom and I are always picking up strays and stuff. So this episode really spoke to me as a dog lover. I really got the feels many times, especially near the end. And I was like, oh, and then when Clark sticks up, I was like, gotta give this dog a chance, Dad. I was like, oh, man. Anyway, this is great.
Same. One of my first words was bow, like bow wow. And seriously, and I've always loved dogs. We've always had dogs. We've always had rescues. It's a big part of our lives. I'm convinced my mother loves the dogs more than my sister and I. And I'm okay with that. I've come to accept it. So it was really exciting, Zach, when you're like, I want you to be on the Krypto episode. I was like, yes, dogs. Into it. Two things I love and can talk about at length. Smallville and dogs.
I have a good gauge for what my guests want to talk about. Now, obviously, Krypto is the name of this episode is a reference to Superman's dog in the comic books. Now, I must say, one of the reasons I love dogs so much is because when I was growing up, my parents had a dog. His name was Sam. They found him a day and a year before I was born. They found him on Sam Houston Day here in Texas, which is April 21st. Okay. So his name was Sam Houston Moore. Yeah, that was his full name. But anyway, I grew up with this dog. He was a solid white dog. All right. He looked like Krypto from the comic books. It was incredible. And found him at my mom's softball game that my parents were at. Found him out there. He was 5 pounds. 3 of it was worms, is the story my parents tell. But they nursed him back to health. My mom had a good friend she used to work with who was a vet. And you know, they told him not to get attached. They told her not to get attached, but they did. And anyway, so this dog was like my brother growing up. Like, I had this dog for like the first, he lived to be 16. So the first 15 years of my life, I had, this dog. I didn't know life without him. So literally, saddest day of my life was when Sam passed away. My parents were there. We put him down together. It was a very emotional experience, but I believe in the Rainbow Bridge, so I'm going to see Sam again one day. But anyway, all that to say, I love dogs, and they play an integral part of my life. And hey, he looked just like Krypto, which plays into my whole My Life is Superman thing. So I just want to get that on there for the record. I'll have to post a picture during this, while this podcast is going live. And also, one of the dogs we have now that lives back home at my mom's house, I found a little after Smallville started. 2009, so way after Smallville started. I was in college at the time. I had just graduated University of Houston. So I didn't know what to name this dog we had found. She was like, and I'll post a picture, guys. Bear with me. This is my opportunity to talk about my dogs, okay? You understand. So, German Shepherd, kind of Golden Retriever mix. She's kind of a reddish brown. And I didn't know what to name her. So I suggested, I'll name this dog Shelby, like from Smallville. Thought about it. We ended up not going that way. We went with Shasta, because that's the name of the mascot at University of Houston. That's the cougar. So she kind of looks like that. So, she lives back at home with my mom. Because, you know, mom has a big yard, and, you know, they kind of have like a mini pack going with the other dog that we found. His name is Judah. And I found him the day after the Smallville series finale. He was like a skeletal black dog walking down a country road. And it was one of those things where I was driving. I had just helped my mom with something all day. It was like a Saturday. And I was, because Smallville was on Friday, so that's how I know. And I was driving home, and I saw this dog. I'm like, does he have a collar? Let me turn around and see if he has a collar. He doesn't have a collar. Oh, what am I going to do? So picked him up, put him in the back of the car. He was like skeletal. And then I called my mom back, and I was like, Mom, I just found this dog. So anyway, we kept him as well. And I always remember that because the day after, on May 14th, 2011, the day after Smallville. Those are the two dogs that we still have back at home, my mom. And they're better there because they have a yard, they have each other, they play and all that good stuff. My mom takes care of them. I see them a lot as well. So I love my dogs. I love all dogs. Those are my dog stories. So there, it's out of that. Now you guys know a little more about me and dogs. So there you go.
I'm kind of disappointed that none of my dog stories have Smallville tie-ins now, but it's cool. No, I feel like I'm lacking.
That doesn't make your dogs any less awesome.
Thank
Victoria.
You. So. Thank you very much.
So, enough about us. In Smallville, the official companion season 4 by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold, director Craig Beeman, I didn't direct this episode, but for some reason he has all the quotes about it in the companion. He says, quote, "It sounded like a really fun idea to bring Crypto on. It's the ironic thing where what sounds fun and easy and cheap ends up not being that way. At the end of the day, dogs are slow, and dogs doing superpowered stunts are really slow." As anyone who's worked with animals before, it's a very intensive process. So I can see why they ran into some road bumps here. And they go on, they kind of tell a story about there's only so many dog trainers in Vancouver. And they found one, like, you know, excellent dog trainer or allegedly excellent dog trainer. Like, okay, we got 3 weeks to teach them all these things. We're going to teach them everything you want. It was a white and black spotted sheepdog. Which I guess is kind of like the dog from Babe. Might be wrong. Maybe I'm getting my breeds wrong. But that was the plan. But 3 weeks later, the dog still was not trained enough to do what they needed him to do. So they called in the professionals. They called in the people who do the Air Bud movies. And that's where Bud the Dog came from, who played Shelby for several seasons on Smallville. Now, come season 9, they did switch out the dog actors for a different dog. That's why the dog looks slightly different. But it's the same kind of, you know, the golden retriever. That's the lineage that we have coming in from Smallville. Now, obviously, it's a normal golden retriever. You know, it doesn't look like Crypto. But I thought, okay, I get it. That's a hard dog to find, you know. But Greg Beeman said this. He says, quote, "I think that they specifically wanted it not to conflict and compete with the Crypto cartoon series, which is on the Cartoon Network." Do you remember that, Victoria?
No, can't say I did. Can't say I do.
It was like this goofy show. Yeah. It's a goofy show. I think Crypto could talk in it. It was like a Scooby-Doo kind of thing.
Natch.
I've never seen it. I think my mom used to record it and said, "Hey, I recorded Crypto for you." And I said, "Okay, mom, that's cool." But I'll
Thanks.
Check it out one day. To finish off his quote, he says, "At the end of the show, we had to be completely clear that it was not Crypto and it was not a superpowered dog from Krypton. It was, in fact, an ordinary dog that had a kryptonite injection, and it was superpowered only briefly." So there you go. The movie division, they don't let you have Kryptonians. They don't let you have Kryptonian dogs back then. I mean, it's crazy.
They are – those executives in the early aughts at WB are ruthless. You can't have Lois. You can't have a real – like, you can't have Kara till season 7. Crypto can't be Crypto. Woof.
You can't show Jor-El's face or Laura's face. It's like, really? I mean, it's the same, and the same stuff goes on today. It's like, hey, you can't have Superman or Batman on our TV shows. We're making movies. Meanwhile, there was a Flash television show. Right? He is in Justice League. There was supposed to be a Flash movie. It's probably never going to happen. At the time of this recording, it's always very amusing to read the news breaking on the Flash movie that continues to go on this carousel of non-development. So
good times.
So there you go. That's the history, you know, and I've heard from, I think Craig told me this, Craig Byrne from Crypt On Site. They were talking about adding a Crypto and Whisper, or even, it might have been even the companion, guys. You know, it's been a long time since I recorded that episode, but there was talk of adding a Crypto, be like a seeing eye dog for him and Chris and Whisper. but the episode was already kind of loaded as it was, and they dropped it. But I'm glad they didn't, because if they did it then, they really couldn't do it now. And then, you know, so I'm glad they didn't go that far. Now, I was curious if they'd ever get to the real Crypto on Smallville, yeah. Because, you know, a show like this that runs for so long, it's like we have two Dr. Hamiltons, or we have, you know, we have two Karas.
Right.
We have, you know, the real Fortress of Solitude, you know, but they never quite got around to Crypto the Super Dog, or Streaky the Super Cat, or Comet the Super Horse, or Beppo the Super Monkey. So yes, that's...
Dude, I had no idea that there were other super animals.
Oh yes, there are... That...
I'm learning so much this night.
There are at least four, and there might be more, but there you go. Jor-El just kept shooting them up into space as tests, I guess. I don't know, but... There's your pregame right there. Love dogs, love Superman, love Smallville. Do we love this episode? That remains to be seen. Let's talk about it. Crypto.
Oh, my allergies.
Where did you say you found him?
Actually, I kind of hit him.
You hit him? With your car?
No, with my fist. I was gonna call the vet, but when I got in just now, he seemed fine.
I think you need to make some flyers in the morning. That way maybe we can figure out who he belongs to. He's got a collar. I'm sure somebody's missing him.
Fine with me.
Actually, it might be fun to have a dog around. Maybe if we can't find out who owns him, we could keep him.
Why don't we just see what happens tomorrow, Clark?
Yeah, don't get too attached.
Crypto, it's the 14th episode of Smallville's fourth season. It aired on February 16th, 2005. It was written by Luke Shilhas and directed by James Marshall. The episode starts out and they're at the Smallville Co-op. It's late at night. I guess it's like a gas station. Is that what this was?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Country Mart kind of gas station. Almost, actually, it's like a general store.
There you go.
That's the vibe I got.
Yeah, that's the more appropriate name for it. And it's like, if you have, okay, we see these brothers and they're going to like rob this place. It's very obvious. And
yeah.
You know, knowing what we know about what their objectives are, why is this on their radar? Like, aren't there better places to rob when you have superpowered dogs?
I guess so. I mean, I guess they're like trying to do like test robs. You know,
start small.
Just get in like a couple, yeah, before they take on the Luthers. So they don't seem very bright.
No, these guys, you mean like, okay, I know what's going on here.
Yeah.
Whenever you have this kind of duo of people, you kind of know what to expect. And these are some of the lamest guys we've seen. Well, there is a moment I want to talk about the actors, but we'll get to that a little later. When we learn their names, which one of their names is my name, which I was like, there is a Zach in Smallville.
Why is it this one? Why is it this person? Dear God.
of all the characters. So this old man is like closing up shop. At the general store, and he hears the doorbell go off. He looks around, he doesn't see anyone, and then he looks down. There's two dogs looking at him. It's kind of a cute moment, isn't it? Before the chaos starts.
Yes, but okay. So like, I know this episode, but then it's been a long time, and I'm like, I don't know why, but just for some reason, when I saw the two dogs, I was like, wait, these guys. They don't shapeshift into the dog. Clark keeps the dog. I had this moment where I'm like, wait, they don't shapeshift, right? They don't turn into the dogs, right? Right? But it is cute.
Superman meets the Shaggy Dog. Would be that crossover there.
Oh my God.
I didn't even think, yeah, that even crossed my mind. That is hilarious though. Because there's two brothers. One of them looks a little more hardcore than the other. I'm like, okay, that guy's the Rottweiler. You know, that guy must be the golden retriever. Oh boy! But this is efficient. This is very effectively scary here because you know they start barking. Like he pulls out his gun, the dog breaks it in half. You know there was Hercules, which is the Rottweiler, and Einstein,
yes,
as the golden retriever. And you know, as you would assume, not to stereotype breeds, okay? Because I think that's a bad thing. But the pit bulls and Rottweilers.
I have a lot of thoughts. Yeah,
it's how they're trained. All right, obviously these dogs were trained to do this kind of thing. So, Golden Retriever just takes the money and runs. The Rottweiler is kind of, you know, enjoys like chasing the guy. And this is actually pretty horrific. The guy, he closes like the door, like to the storeroom, and you're like, bang, 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 bang. And then he leaves and you're like, okay, he's going to be fine. And the dog comes back and busts down the door.
And mauls him.
Yes.
I guess, like, you know, it is, it does actually feel more visceral and scary than some other cold opens, I guess, with Meteor Freaks. I guess because that could actually, it's more realistic that you would have an encounter with, you know, an unsane dog or like a dangerous dog in your life than you would with someone who got powers from a meteor shower.
Yeah, you're not going to get turned to a pile of ash or frozen solid.
Yeah, and I think it probably goes to the directing and the music as well, that it did actually feel very intense and it really did hook you.
Yeah, James Marshall is one of the best directors on the show, and I think he really elevates your work with animals with superpowers.
It's not easy.
Not easy, and can come off really stupid and cheesy if you're not careful.
Yeah. No, for sure.
So we see that they have like this dog whistle to call them off. And Einstein goes back quick. It takes Hercules a little bit longer because he's busy mauling this guy. Not to death, or did he kill him?
Oh my gosh, I don't remember.
We'll have to look at the headline. I'm going to make a screenshot of the newspaper headline we see, and I'll post it on social media. We won't know here, but you'll find out, listeners. So
you'll find out. It's a fun thing for everyone. It's a game we play.
That's right. So I guess Einstein just either didn't hear the whistle or just was kind of over the whole thing.
He seemed so over it. Can I just be honest? Einstein was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yes. Yes, because he's gone, you know? So they get Hercules back.
He's like, bye.
Peace out, y'all. Catch me outside. And that's going to date the podcast. And you see, that's already dated. And you see the Einstein, he's gone, you know? And then we cut to Lois. And she's driving down the road once again on her cell phone in the car. It was the early 2000s, people, so it wasn't illegal then.
It was still frowned upon.
Although I will say, I mean, let's talk about safety for a second. If you're going to be on your phone when you're driving, and you shouldn't because it's illegal most of the time now, in most places, I should say, talking is better than texting. Because texting, you're like looking down at your phone, typing stuff in. At least if you're talking on, you know, your phone, it's on your shoulder or something.
You're on speaker, Bluetooth.
Yeah, exactly. With cars today, you know, use the aux input. Do what you need to do. Use one of those radio transmitters, people. There's so many options today, right? But it's a lot safer because your eyes are at least on the road. But all that to say, Lois, she's been in the show for half a season now, and this is her second car accident. We don't have a counter for that for Lois.
Yeah. Yeah, as bad, as naughty as this is, like, Lois, quit your smoking and keep your eyes on the road. But I do like the mirroring of how it's very similar, if not almost exactly the same, as to how she met Clark.
Yes, it is funny.
So I did appreciate that kind of creative choice.
Yes, and she's, we don't see it. You know, it's just, we see Einstein run across the road, you hear a noise, and then you see she looks in the rearview mirror, and it's always that, like, What just happened? Do I need to go investigate thing, right? We always have that moment if somebody hits something. She gets out. She sees him. She picks him up. You know, it's pretty cute that she picks him up off the road. And then she starts sneezing, which she's allergic to Einstein, isn't she?
I don't know. For some reason, I didn't think Lois was going to have empathy, but she did. And it was really sweet. I was just like, yes, Lois, save baby Einstein. Take Einstein to the hospital. Like, help him. Help him. Help Einstein. I also just want to add, because we talked about the opening and how Hercules is like this muscle and he's the aggressive one, and how Einstein, the golden retriever, is the more sensitive, brainy one of the pair. That really got under my skin, and I hated that. And I get it. Like, casting dogs is harder than casting children or babies or anything. But it really broke my heart because I actually volunteered at an animal shelter recently, and it's heartbreaking, especially in Los Angeles, because pretty much all the dogs are breeds, or, you know, some mix of pit bull, because they've had, like, that breed has such a terrible stigma, and all those dogs, for the most part, like, there were certain dogs that are like, hey, we're still like working on this one's behavior, but they're all sweeties and they want to be loved. So that, again, like, as Zach was saying, that's why this episode is like full of all the feels for me. Like, I get more invested. I think another reason is, like, I get more invested if, like, a dog or an animal is in peril than a human.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. 100%. I'm the same way. It's like, you get, like, shorthand, like, in a movie or TV show, they kill a dog, I go, it's on now. you know. John Wick, everyone. Hello.
Yep.
So he's picking up what we're putting down. But no, I agree. And because, and honestly, what it is to me, and people are like, you like dogs more than people. That's not necessarily true sometimes. But, you know, animals are innocent. Animals are helpless. Animals depend, especially dogs. Cats.
Yeah.
You know, cats, they're on the street, you know, they're street savvy. They're going around, they're killing rats, they're doing what they do, you know. Dogs need people. You know,
they
dogs
do. They're fully domesticated.
Yes. Yeah. They need just for support. They're a pack animal. You know, they want unconditional love. Nothing will love you more than a dog will, you know? So like all the memes, I don't know if they're even memes, all the things I see, like, cause I'm a member, I'm part of all these like dog rescue groups on Facebook. So I see all these things all the time and people post this stuff and it's like, remember, he's only one part of your life. You are his whole life. So love your dog and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, it's so true. But anyway.
Love it.
That's what I'm saying. So that is where the empathy and sympathy comes for animals because they are helpless. That's why people, I understand things happen to people. Sometimes people put themselves in situations, but animals, they didn't ask for this. A dog that gets lost didn't ask to be out on the street somewhere. You know, it's just helpless looking to get home. Like my dream job, I'm not even kidding now. And I'm going to get off the dog love train in a second. We'll talk about the animals some more. But like if I could drive around in a van and just pick up animals and just like keep them on a big farm, like that is what I would do. Like, Zach, I'm not even kidding. Like,
do we go into business together? Because I've had this thought a lot recently where I'm like, what am I doing? Do I just like work from home and just save all the dogs?
Yes, thank you. All right.
And quit Hollywood and just save all the dogs.
We'll talk after this podcast about that, our next big venture. But anyway, good. So we're on the same page, clearly.
Yay.
Now, back to the episode. I did think that was a weird time to cut to the opening credits. Usually there's something dramatic happens. She like sneezes,
she hit a dog.
It's like, somebody save me.
Yeah, I think they were trying to kind of go for like the humor. I guess because she did hit a dog and it's like the realest thing. That I guess maybe they were trying to diffuse with like the sneeze to give a little humor. That's me trying to help them with this explanation.
You mentioned the humor. Did you see the promo for this episode?
10 plus years ago, but not recently.
They play How Much for That Doggy in the Window. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? But is it like a jacked up like trailer version or is it just literally How Much is That Doggy in the Window?
No, it's like How Much for That Doggy in the Window. It's like, wow, guys, you just leaned into it. But it was like played up as like a comedy kind of episode. That's the kind of they were going for. So that fits with, you know, her sneezing and that being the big out to the opening credits.
Yeah, that was a choice.
That was a choice. So we come back and they're at the Kent farm. Lois thought she tied him up in the barn, but she didn't. Clark is awoken because he's on the couch now because Lois lives with the Kents.
Yeah. At first, I was like, "Wait, why is Clark just on the couch?" And then it all came back to me that she's staying with them now.
See,
she's back at the Kent farm.
This is the phase where I start to like find Lois like is wearing out her welcome around on the show because she's kicked Clark out of his room. I mean, come on.
She's bringing home stray animals.
Come on, Lois. Like, don't wear out your welcome, right?
Yeah.
But
manners.
But I do love I love that Clark and his dad, that they get up and they see Einstein like going through the refrigerator eating all this stuff, and even Clark's like, even his first expression is, "Oh, that's pretty cute." You know, and you can tell that like it's that's annoying as hell. I don't want animals ripping apart my food in my refrigerator, but it's a dog, so it's cute, right?
Yay! It's a cute dog.
And then Lois comes in. And she tries like, "Oh, hey guys, what are you guys doing up?" And they just kind of look over at the dog. It's like, "Oh, I tied him up in the barn."
Yeah, that was funny. But I do love, and something that I love throughout this episode is how much genuine delight Clark gets from the dog and how much they bond. And it is like, I think they say it in the episode how like he has a line dialogue where he's like, "I don't have to hide anything to you."
Yeah.
I just love that. And it's really sweet. And I guess, like, I know I come on this podcast and like scream about how much I like Tom when he's like not wearing clothes, but I also do love, it is like a treat to see Clark happy.
Yes.
So this was a nice aspect. And it's so pure. It's so pure.
Yes. So you mentioned purity. To mention impurity, you haven't seen him this happy since he was with Alicia. Am I right?
Yeah. R.I.P., man. R.I.P. to my girl.
So they go out to the barn, and we have a plus one for a blue shirt and red jacket, because Clark was just, like, wearing blue jeans and a long-sleeve blue shirt on the couch. Oh, and a red blanket, by the way, because he's going to be Superman. I hope everyone noticed that.
No, Smallville. Smallville only... You can only get red blankets in Smallville. There are no other types of blankets.
At the Smallville General Store. That's where they get all their blankets, the red blankets.
The recently robbed Smallville General Store. Yes.
And
they made those crazy dogs, those shape-shifting dogs made off of all the blankets.
So they go out to the barn, and clearly that she had tied up Einstein, but you know, they don't know he's got superpowers, right? And he's ripped over one of the beams. Like, well, that's just bad wood. That's not my fault. That was a pretty funny reaction, I think. But the line I remember most out of anything this episode, Jonathan's like, where did you find him? And Lois says, I hit him. And Clark's like, you hit him with your car? She says, no, with my fist. I thought that was hilarious.
I love, that's actually one of my favorite aspects of this episode too, is their banter. It's what saves and makes the episode for me, is that the banter between those two is just on fire this episode, between Clark and Lois.
Well, let me ask you this. What this vibe from them, like especially this episode, very brother-sister, I find. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm an only child, so I only know this through television.
I only have a sister.
So yeah, so it's, but to me, like, and that's what was so weird about them, like, this vibe went on for so many years on the show, and then they're in love. It's like, well, I mean, that...
It happens.
They had a really good brother-sister vibe for a long time, and that's on display here.
I would argue that that's an important foundation of a relationship. The fact that they were... That they can be friends, mm-hmm. and then it like came into more. And obviously, the fact that they fight so much is because that's, I mean, right now they're not acting on it. That's totally sexual.
It's that latent attraction coming out for sure.
Totally.
She wants that little Clarky, you know what I'm saying? So,
give me that vitamin C.
Vitamin C. So, Lois goes off to bed. Clark tells Jonathan he's going to do his chores. And Jonathan's like, it's 3 a.m., son. And he's like, hey, Lois lives here now. I got to do these chores when she's not around if I'm going to use my powers. So he starts doing his chores, and Johnson's like, well, start with that post. And then he's kind of super speeds. He does all the, like, the measure. He's Tim the Toolman Taylor here in super speed. He measures it and does the beam. And it's so great because this whole time the dog is watching him at super speed, right?
No, but I actually love that effect. Like, there's something in, like, seeing the utility and the kind of the everyday use of Clark's powers that I am a sucker for. So I actually really enjoyed this.
Yeah, that's that, like, slice of life. If you had superpowers, you would use them this way. It's not, doesn't have to be saving the day. Just doing everyday tasks with superpowers is great.
Yeah, I think also because it feels like it kind of lessens the burden of, like, what it means to be Superman. Mm-hmm.
True. Very true.
I don't know.
And this is when he has the line where he turns to Einstein. He's like, well,
yes.
I don't have to hide anything from you, do I? And the dog just kind of look at him. Some great reaction shocks from this dog, by the way.
I mean, does the dog carry the acting in this episode? I think so.
I would say the editing carries it because they pick the right shots of the dog.
I think you're a traitor to dog lovers, and it's definitely the dog.
Well, and the sound effects too. The dog is clearly not like making.
Oh, that's like terrible ADR. It's like the dog is like not doing anything. It's like, murr,
like
murr.
Scooby-Doo at all times. Murr. Like every comment is made, every head tilt, all that kind of thing. But then Clark, puts him back in the barn, and we have there's two deleted scenes for this episode.
Oh.
They're on the DVD. We'll post them here on the social media. The first is like 30 seconds, and it's presumably it would be in between this scene and then when Chloe shows up in her car, because it's Clark in the barn, and he sees that Einstein has broken the chain again. He's like, how are you doing this? And he just holds up the broken beam because he just fixed it. That's why Clark, if he's noticed at the end of the episode, he's fixing the beam again. That's why he has to fix it again. So again with the season 4 deleted scenes. Now, there's another one later on. We'll talk about, but it was essential to season 4, and it's a deleted scene, but we'll talk about it.
Oh, good. Fantastic. Yeah,
yes. So Chloe shows up. Lois had been on the phone with her earlier. That's why she was a little distracted driving. And she shows up because she had her mail at Chloe's house, but now she's getting it at the Kents. And I ask, why doesn't she just live with her cousin Chloe? I guess they have a one-bedroom apartment. But maybe here's a thought. Maybe instead of making Clark sleep on his couch, maybe Lois, you can sleep on Chloe and her dad's couch. That's just a thought.
It's a good one. Also, like, maybe get a P.O. box, Lois. You seem to really hop around from place to place.
Now, when Chloe drove up, I noticed that she had her press pass for the torch hanging on her rearview mirror. I just found that amusing set decoration for that day. They were like, let's put a little something here. What do we got? There's a press pass. So this is another instance of Chloe. She knows Clark's powers. Clark doesn't know she knows. So we have that kind of conversation because she's like, well, how's it going? How is it with the new tenant? You know, talking about Lois. And he's like, well, she uses all the hot water and she took my bedroom, but hey, great. It's going great.
And I thought that was funny. And she's re-recorded the voicemail.
Yeah, re-recorded. Like, that's crossing a line, people. Well, all right.
She's lucky. She's so darn pretty.
That's right. Now, the best part here is, though, he says, it's hard to be myself with her around. And of course, Chloe picks up on like what he really means, because he really does mean what he told his dad earlier. I can't use my powers, all that kind of stuff. She's like, well, I'm always around. And I always think of Superman Returns when I hear that line, because that's what he says at the end. And for whatever reason, you know, me and Lance only speak in movie quotes. And so whenever there's a variation that, like, I'm always around. So glad I have friends like that to put these pointless Superman lines quoting to each other. But anyway, and then she's like, oh, and you got this guy now, the dog, which is true. She goes in, I guess, to give Lois her mail or whatever. And then Clark ties Einstein up to the tractor. He's like, let's see if you can, you know, pull this away. And then in a genius production conscious move, Clark goes inside and you hear all this chaos, you know.
Yes.
He goes outside and you see the dog sitting in the front yard just looking up at him with the tractor attached. It was a cute shot of the dog.
It was really cute. And I also get you obviously understand why they're not gonna show that effect. But it's almost like the horror thing. It's like it's actually more fun and effective for everyone to imagine it and then see it than it is to show it.
Yeah, just like Tom Welling in the Superman costume, right, Victoria?
Well, that's taking it to another level. I'm trying to keep things in like fun dog land.
I agree with you. So he goes out, and it really is cute because the dog's like, hey, don't tie me up here. That's why he started barking. He wanted to be closer to the house. So that's why he came. He brought the tractor to the house.
Or he's like, I think also, like, he's like, I like you, Clark. Like, let's hang. Like, you're super jacked up. Me as well. Like, why are you tying me outside?
So he goes out there, and at this point, he really realizes what's going on. And then Lois and Chloe come out, and Lois is like, what did you do? He's like, oh, the tractor. It must have rolled away. And she's like, through the fence? He's like, yeah, it's weird, huh? And then Chloe, it's funny because Chloe thinks she's covering for Clark here. And she's like, yeah, these tractors, you know, the farm, weird. You know, we should just let
classic tractor move. We've all been there.
Who hasn't, right?
You don't know, Lois. You're a city girl.
And because he said he was just playing with Skippy here. And this is when they start going back and forth about the names. And she's like, no, we're going to call him Clarky, which is like, Clarky? Really? because she's allergic to him and they can't stand being around each other.
That was cute. I actually did like that, though. I mean, some of the stuff
is because they're secretly in love, guys. That's what it's like. So,
but it was fun. I don't know. I think again, it's another nod to the directing of the episode where there was such an opportunity here for it to come across so hokey. But I think it's to James Marshall and Erica and Tom's credit where they pull it off and it's just fun and you just kind of go along for the ride.
By the way, a lot of the gifs you see of Smallville are from this episode, like of Lois and Clark reacting to each other. Like the one, like if you just look Lois and Clark Smallville, there's at least three of them. They come from this episode, so look it up on Twitter or wherever people. But anyway, so Chloe leaves, and then Clark says, "I have to go tell my parents something." I don't know what that is because we never get that scene. Because the next scene we get is them taking him to the animal shelter because Clark used an X-ray and he sees the microchip, which is a pretty cool. I wish I had that. Then I could tell. Because it's like you get a dog, you're like, there's no collar. There's no microchip.
Yeah.
Everyone microchip your pets. Please help control the pet population. Have your pets spayed and neutered, to quote Bob Barker. But also have a microchip, okay? So anyway.
So they can come back to you if someone finds them.
That's right. So they decide to take him to the animal shelter. And Lois had made these lost and found posters. And she's like, I spent all morning on these.
And I'm like, and they're like third grade. Yeah. They're like third grade level of crafting.
I don't know. Are they self-aware? Because it's like Lois is coming off as kind of dumb in this episode.
I think this, I am hoping this is a self-aware moment. Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty cute. It was pretty cute that she's like, I spent all morning on these, and it's the simplest thing ever.
It's like totally a template on Microsoft Publisher.
Yes, and that totally production shot of Bud the dog on set is there. But we go to the animal shelter, the Smallville animal shelter, and hey, it's the brother, the younger brother. And it all ties together now. These guys work at the animal shelter, so watch out for those dudes. They talk about, you know, the dog, and he's like, oh, it might be one of those lab dogs. And Clark's like, lab dogs? Like, oh, yeah, Luther Corp is doing some experiments and stuff. So animal experimentation. The Luthers really are evil, right?
Agreed. And I know I said this when I was on Magnetic, but something I actually do enjoy about this episode is that we get to see a little more of the world of Smallville because we're going to locations that we don't always go to. So it's kind of fun to be somewhere new in the animal shelter.
That's true.
And get to see how they interact there, because there's, again, some more banter here.
We saw the animal shelter. We see the general store. I mean, we're just getting a whole map of the town here. So
we really are.
But yeah, so they bring him in here, and then Lois is like, well, we could call him Clark, but that would be confusing. So why don't you just change your name?
How do you like Skippy?
I was saying it was kind of a brother-sister thing, but there is, wherever you want to categorize it, there is chemistry that is happening in this episode between two of them, and it is fun to watch.
It is fair. Agreed.
They want to scan the microchip, but, you know, Einstein here, he knows that Josh here, the younger brother, he's bad news, so he like, growling at him, all that kind of stuff, and even Clark and Lois notice that this dog is not, it's not like Josh here. So Clark, he's like, I better do that. And he just grabs the microchip scanner and scans him.
Boop, boop, boop.
But that's all they find out. He's from Luther Corp and the lab dogs and all that stuff there. And then Josh is like, oh, well, hey, you just hand him over. And like, no, we're good. We're gonna keep him with us. And they almost get out of there.
Smart move, Clois.
Yeah. But then Josh is like, oh, well, we need your name and address. It's policy. So they're like, all right, I know what they're going to do. They're going to go kidnap the dogs later. Keep a note of this, listeners. Clark tells Lois, hey, take him home. I'm going to go talk to Lex. All right. So this is like probably the morning. I don't know. He's wearing his blue shirt and red jacket, as we have noted. Okay. So let's just remember that for when he finally does go talk to Lex. Okay.
I'm feeling some continuity goofs coming on.
So moving on. Now let's talk about the brother. So it's the classic. You have a like a bad brother and then like the hesitant brother, but he's like bullied by the older brother and they're doing stuff he doesn't want to do. They go in the back and he's like messing with the dog, like the Hercules, the one dog. He's like, why do you have to do that? He's like, what does it matter, man? They're just dogs. So it's like, all right, I see what's going on here.
A+ dialogue. Yes. Never been seen.
This guy, the older brother's name is Josh. The younger brother's name is Zach. And I believe on this very podcast,
I'm so sorry.
Look it up. Yes, please. I believe on this very podcast, at some point, I don't know if it was an episode or a special or a Patreon thing, I was like, is there anyone in Smallville named Zach? And we have, sure enough, we have found him. He is a animal shelter working, so plus, but criminal dog abuser, so minus. So it's kind of a wash.
I think, honestly, more negative because abusing dogs.
Yes.
It's not great. It's not a good look. Oh, yeah, he is Zach. But if it's any solace or like out for you, he spells it Z-A-C-K in that H.
All right, Snyder, not...
not Snyder. Levi.
Levi, yeah. Z-A-C-H, yes. The correct spelling of Zach. So anyway, or Efron with a C. Come on, man. Zach is a four-letter word, all right? So anyway, yes, I found someone with my name in Smallville, and he's a criminal that uses dogs for his own purposes and has them commit crimes against their will. So thrilled about that. But these actors are familiar, aren't they, Victoria?
One in particular, Zach, is the roid rage warbler on Glee in the later seasons, who's so creepy. And so like when he showed up on this episode, I was like, what? Like, oh my God, you were working this long ago? And then, because he looks young, and he still looks really young, because I also saw him, I was also watching season 2 of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and he's in that too. He's not wearing a lot of clothes. I'm not really feeling it. I'm like, get out of my, what are you doing here?
Get out of my life.
Stop it. Say no to steroids. But yeah, no, that was really funny to recognize him.
But we had some exposition about these brothers here. Josh, the older one, was a security guard and a trainer at Luthercorp because he has a Luthercorp binder.
So you know it's a fish.
So yeah, so it's a fish, legit. And but he puts it in a locker where it's nice and safe. No one can find it. But they've been like kind of planning robberies with that, or at least eventually they do. Like I said, they're knocking off general stores, so they could have.
They had to do their practice robberies.
Yeah, was this? I guess this is near the beginning of their crime spree. I guess I would assume.
Yeah, because I don't think there's any dialogue being like, this matches all these other robberies that happened recently.
So that's basically our exposition. Between hearing that there were animal experimentation with Corp, this guy used to be the dog trader and used to work there and has the binder, because he has a binder. Then we kind of can connect the dots and know what's going on. So there you have it. And I will say, much like they're giving Rottweilers a bad look, they're giving people working at animal shelter a bad look in this episode as well.
Yeah. I know, that makes me so sad because like pretty much everyone who works at an animal shelter is like doing the Lord's work. And they're doing that out of the goodness of their heart. So F you, Josh and Zach.
Yes, I just want to say that. Thank you for all the good work you do if you work in the animal shelter, animal control industry.
Career,
there you go.
Profession.
So, anyway, completely changing gears. We get our season 4 Stones of Power plot. Genevieve T comes to see Lex.
In a fur, which is... again, an interesting choice for this episode.
Oh, yes. I didn't even think about that.
Bold.
She's come to tell Lex that she wanted him to give Jason a job, but somewhere they would take him away from Lana, and he didn't do it, and they're just going back and forth about it. I do like, she says, I underestimated you, Lex, and he says, it's a common mistake. So, again, Lex makes it worth watching, but I'm not here for this plot line in this episode. I don't know about you, Victoria.
I'm not, I could just cut out this whole thing from season 4. It was kind of fun, I will say, just because like, oh God, if we have to do this subplot, if we have to do this B story, like, I did kind of appreciate their weird, like, cougar.
Yes.
Sexual tension.
It's still going on.
Because like, I'm like, I'm here, and I have to do this, so we might as well, like, get a little weird with it.
Like, yeah, they probably, like, I'm sure they injected that. They're like, let's have some fun with this. See, I'm sure Rosamond probably had a crush on Jane Seymour when he was a kid, you know, so. But yes, that was very present in her first scene with Lex a couple episodes ago, where she's, like, wearing, like, a very, like, provocative kind of dress for an older woman. And anyway, the vibes are there, but...
she's a MILF, what can we say?
Yeah, the Teagues like younger people, as we've established, so.
Yo.
So we almost have a shut that laptop moment. We don't, though, because they're talking back and forth, and... it's really nothing to it, and she leaves. So that's why there's no need to go into detail. But then Lex goes and sits down at his desk, and he pulls up the map that we thought was destroyed in Spell. So it's still there. He has a copy. So that will come into play later at some point. Oh, also, ties into the deleted scene. Because you think, oh, was Jane Seymour just in these couple scenes? No, she's in one more scene. Total of three Good. Scenes. We're going to talk about the deleted scene later. But she does mention that, oh, so you're no longer interested in how your father got out of prison. And he says, I believe my father's truly reformed, so therefore his guilt or innocence is of no interest to me. Which I think is him just saying, leave me alone. Of course he wants to know.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to go through her channels to find out. So then we cut to the Kent farm, and Martha and Jonathan are cooking dinner. And Martha's like trying to like butter Jonathan up to the to get the dog. And she's like, oh, she's like, Martha, I know what you're thinking. He's like, oh, but it'd be great for Clark to have a dog. It's been kind of a lonely year for him. It's just such a mom thing to say, right?
It's so sweet. And it's such a classic, like, mom-dad argument where it's like, and it was like, then I'll have to, what about when Clark goes off to college? I will have to take care of the dog and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, oh, I used to be in these arguments. Good times.
Yes. We can all relate to this kind of stuff. And while they're having this conversation, Einstein goes over to the table, and you hear, again, some clever production techniques. You hear off-screen noise, and then they go over there, and Einstein is eating all of the roasts, all of the T-bones, and it's, like, the worst thing ever. And Martha's, like, trying not to laugh because she knows Jonathan's upset, but she finds it adorable as well. She's like, remember when Clark did that? He's like, this is not funny,
Martha. That was really sweet, though. That made me happy. Like, little baby Clark. He doesn't know his own strain.
I think, is this when Lois comes down the stairs?
Yeah, and she's like, wait, what the F?
And then, like, seriously, Lois is like, yeah, the dog has superpowers. Okay, let's just, because that's what I've been note of, like, Clark went to go tell his parents something, yeah. Right? Yeah. You never see that, but it's implied, like, but that's not a deleted scene, by the way, in case you're wondering. But that's not ever said in the episode, but you can imply, he's like, hey, mom and dad, the dog kind of has power, so just if you want to just keep that in mind, you know, just, so yeah. I assume they had that conversation. That's why I'm like, oh my God, what happened? They know that the dog has the ability, so.
Yes.
But then we get to Clark has finally arrived at Luther Mansion. Now, again, that was like early in the day, and this is late at night. We all change clothes at some point during the day. So it's entirely logical that maybe Clark changed clothes, but he sent Lois home with the dog when he was going to go talk to Lex. And he shows up to Lex's place, and he's wearing like a checkered shirt and a blue jacket.
Oh.
Continuity director fail, am I right?
Yeah. All right. I want to try to explain it. Maybe they actually... Okay. It's winter. Here we go. Hear me out.
Let's hear it.
Winter. So the days are shorter. And so what if they actually went to the animal shelter like more mid-afternoon? So by the time he got to Lex's, maybe he did some stuff in between and... Or maybe he went back... No, he wouldn't have gone back to the farm. He did stuff in between and then went to Lex's, and by the time he got to Lex's, it was dark. I can't explain the outfit change though.
Also, Lex was just in the library with Genevieve Teague.
Getting all hot and
in
heavy.
His suit. Yeah. And next thing you know, he's in like his long sleeve shirt just playing pool. He shows like, hey Clark, just about to break. You wanna join?
No, there's a very logical explanation about that. He got too hot and bothered by his like MILF moment with Genevieve Teague. He had to like shower and like cool off a bit and change into something casual.
That I can't believe. So it is funny here how, you know, Clark, again, he barges in. Lex is like, oh, hey, you want to play some pool? He's like, are Luther Corp doing animal testing? And Lex says, I'm not really sure if that's any of your business. Yeah, so that, like, was an interesting response.
You can't, well, Clark kind of came in at a 10, so... I understand.
Yes. Well, and yeah, I mean, he explains, like, yes, Meteorox, steroids, they were, quote, military applications. Like, I love that, whatever. Because Clark asked a legitimate question. He's like, why would you even be doing this? Yes. It's kind of a ridiculous thing.
Have we gone full Satan?
Well, as I understand it, there were military applications, so.
Oh, yes, got it. Yes, of course.
And, you know, he blames it on his dad. Like, oh, well, when I took over, you know, my dad had all these crazy experiments going on. But it was my understanding that all the dogs were destroyed. Like, whoa!
Soulless, heartless Lex.
So that's sad. And then he wants to know, like, so, you know, he kind of is probing Clark. And Clark's like, is that your way of asking me if he has super strength? He's like, yeah. The dog is perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
So he's not lying, but he doesn't exactly tell him what's going on, too.
No, he's got another secret to keep.
And Lex is like, I believe you, Clark, because I know that you would tell me if it did, because that I would be very liable. It's like, Lex, like, come on, man, what are you doing?
Classic. We've all been here. Literally, we've been here for 4 seasons. Yeah.
Yeah, we have. And then poor Lex just went to play some pool with his friend, and, you know, it's gotten real sour at this point. So I assume Clark just left.
Yeah. He was like, no, I'm going to go hang out with my perfectly healthy dog.
Yeah. Yes, my dog doesn't ask me these kinds of questions. Yeah. So then we come back to the Kent farm, and Martha and Lois are cleaning up the broken table, and I, like, she's like, sorry about dinner, I guess it's gonna be sandwiches tonight. And I'm like, is Lois paying any kind of rent, or is she just staying here room and board free? Because that is the sweetest deal ever.
I think she's totally staying. She has no money. She did the whole spiel in Recruit how she's like gonna become a homeless person if she doesn't stay with them.
Well, you see, I get it for these episodes where there's like Ryan or some kid who stays with them for like 2 or 3 days, like a kid, but this is like a 20-year-old woman just living with them indefinitely. So I guess, I don't know, they wanted to keep Lois around the rest of the season. I don't know if this is how I would have done it though. That's my,
well, what was the alternative? She moves into the Talon, like, where are we gonna put her?
That's true. There's only so many sets that we can have, yeah, people live in. But an excuse to have her even be in Smallville, period, right? Other than, I don't, this is better than failing out of high school. That is, you know, this is a step up over that, I will say. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jonathan's outside, and he hears, like, a noise, right? And he looks around, and we have Hercules come up and attack him, right? But then Einstein goes out and protects him, and they have, like, a dog standoff. And I was like, yeah, like, I kind of got there. I was like, yeah, you get him, Einstein.
Yeah, but then I was like, no, puppies just get along and love each other.
Well, you know, he's, yeah, you know, he's,
no, he had
protecting,
to protect Jonathan.
Yeah. And Einstein, right? That is, I don't know if this was intentional or not, but that is the name of Doc Brown's dog in the Back to the Future trilogy, the best trilogy of all time.
Wow.
Don't at me. So it really is, people. But anyway, that's the name of the dog in Back to the Future. And then, you know, and it's funny, in the first Back to the Future, you know, in 1985, he has a dog and his name is Einstein. And then they go back to the 50s and there's a dog that's a puppy. And you're like, did they think that was the same dog? Because it doesn't work that way. But by the time Back to the Future 3 came around, he's in the 50s again, they made sure there's like, that's Copernicus. I was like, okay, good on you, Back to the Future. And little reasons, little things like that, Victoria, is why Back to the Future is the best trilogy of all time. But moving on, we'll talk about that another time. Einstein protects Jonathan. Then we hear the dog whistle, right?
Yes.
And then Hercules runs off. And then Einstein kind of runs off, but he stops because he like doesn't really want to go back. But I guess it's that training that's ingrained in him. They keep blowing the whistle and he finally goes back to the guys. Yeah, that's right. Yes, very good. Very, very good.
Thank you.
So then, we have a plus one for hospital visit.
Because we must.
And Jonathan, you know, he's his arms in a sling. And he's like, oh, the doctor's never seen a dog bite through bone like that before. And then we get our newspaper, which we mentioned earlier, where they talk about the general store where the guy was mauled. We don't know if he lived or died. There was a lot of blood, though.
Unclear.
A lot of blood. Jonathan kind of, you know, brings Clark aside. He's like, Clark, I know you're really going to get attached to this dog. This is dangerous, son. And if they really attack this man, they got to put him down. And this is where Clark, like, stands up for the dog. He's like, you guys, when you found me, you know, I was powerful and you gave me a chance. We got to give this dog a chance. I'm like, yeah, way to go. See, this is like Superman. This is Clark. I love this. This is Clark Kent.
Yes. And it actually does really track, like, the comparison. I know it might seem silly because it's a dog, but no, there's, especially because I've watched the pilot recently as part of the Always Hold On to Smallville Patreon.
Plug.
But yeah, no, it's like this, they could have done the same thing, or they wouldn't obviously like put it down, but like they could have taken Clark to the government and like, you know, God knows what would have happened, but they took a chance on him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right. People say, it's just a dog. It's not just a dog.
No, it's okay? Never dogs just a dog. People fight me.
That's right. I will come at you. So, bro. So, the next scene is a scene between Jason and Genevieve. And I'm going to mention here, the other deleted scene is a scene between Genevieve and Lionel.
They cut that?
I know, right? The two, like, you have Jane Seymour and John Glover in a scene, and that's on the cutting room floor, right? Now, I don't know where it would have gone. It would have either gone in this place, and then this one would have shifted later, but it was after the Lex scene.
Someone get Craig Byrne on the phone.
Thank you, right? So it starts out, and Lionel's, like, reading a book, and he's in the, you know, also in the Always Hold On to Smallville Patreon, plug, when we were talking about Lexmas, we were talking about how Lionel never has a house anywhere.
Yeah,
well, this is one instance. He's in Lex's, like, he's in the helper's quarters or something.
Wait,
like that.
Wait, they actually saw the servant's quarters again? I'm so angry that this is cut. Like, my rage just continues to build.
Well, he's sitting on the couch and he's reading, like, a book, but he has, like, a space heater next to him and he's, like, turning it off. I'm like, this is so great, right? Like this
delicious.
Is Lionel having to live like this. Like the college life, right? Genevieve comes in to visit him, and they have some back and forth about how far he's fallen or has accommodations and all this kinds of thing. Now, this is what, and I knew this happened, and I'm on record here. You guys remember I was mentioning, like, I think this is a deleted scene somewhere. This is where it's established that she got him out of prison because she wanted him to help her find the stones of power. And I love what she said. She's like, I spent my whole life looking for these stones, and somehow you and your son found two of them and lost them within 6 months. And I was like, that's a good, I would be frustrated as well.
And then did she also say, as a fellow member of Veritas, I'm very disappointed.
Look at that stained glass, Lionel. Remember that? Do you know what that means? Now, Lionel says he's not interested in that anymore because he's had, you know, his conversion. He's like, since I was miraculously healed, because she's like, you seem to be a lot more interested when you were dying. And that she actually references, you know, St. Paul, Damascus Road, the famous conversion story from the Bible. Interesting that Lex actually brings this up himself in season 7 when he's talking to Lana in Wrath.
Oh, goodness.
How I remember that episode even surprises me. But anyway, it's true, though, because Lionel right now, he really is like on a kind of St. Paul story. That's kind of where they're going for with him right now, so it is a valid comparison. But she kind of threatens that if he doesn't get in line, you know, that he might find his accommodations getting even smaller, and, you know, she'd get him sent back to prison because she's the one that got him out, you know, and using all her power and influence, because they weren't sure if it was going to be Dr. Swan or Bridget Crosby or Genevieve T, because remember, he got picked up from prison just like Edgar, his cellmate, got picked up by Margot Kidder. So anyway, all that to say, this is a very essential scene to explain a lot of things. When you have Jane Seymour, you should not cut a scene with Jane Seymour. I don't care what you have to do to cut around it. And then interacting with John Glover. I mean, come on, you know, the old people scenes. That's what made the earlier seasons of Smallville give some weight.
Old people, the lifeblood of Smallville.
That's right, right? Season 4 is so vague about Lionel and these stones and Mrs. Teague. It's like, this is an essential scene. And I don't know what they could have cut out, but they needed to find a way to fit it in the episode. That's the way I see it.
Oh, jeez.
So. From that, maybe they could have cut out this scene, but they needed it too. Ugh. It's Jason and his mom. Of course, hey, I just said don't cut Jane Seymour, right? And they're talking, and this doesn't really track.
But when he's because... bitching and moaning about Lana, then maybe you can cut the scene with Jane Seymour.
Yes. Well, it doesn't really track because Jason and his mom are in on it from the jump. I thought we were led to believe at the end.
Yes. I'm like, is it because they're in the Talon? So they're like, let's do like an improv moment and like really sell this.
Someone could be listening, Victoria. Yes. Someone could be up there on the staircase.
Like, this is excessive. And I'm like, I am a person who is very excessive. But if this is what I'm trying to rationalize it as, like, this is excessive.
Well, yeah, it's like, hey, if you need to eavesdrop on your significant other when they're talking to their parents about this kind of stuff, perhaps you should reevaluate your relationship. But yeah, you're right. That's great. They have an improv moment. I love what you say, because Jason's like, you knew about the Countess and you set this up in Paris and you knew that that's why you had her bring me to that church or something, because she would etch the thing. And if she was, what does he say?
Her heir. If
she received the mark, she was the one, quote unquote. Like, what are you talking about?
Mom. So, why'd you get my girlfriend possessed by a witch? God.
but there's a flub here, and they could have corrected with ADR, but they didn't. She mentions that her ancestor put Genevieve's ancestor is the Gertrude. One that got Isabel burned at the stake. Yeah, Gertrude. There you go. I know it started with a G, and it was like some kind of French sounding name, because they were from the same village in France or whatever, yes. Right? And she says that. That Isabel said she was going to have a curse on all the descendants, right?
Yeah, or she would rise again to kill the descendants, yeah.
And then she says, we're her ancestors, Jason. I'm like, no, you're not her ancestors. Did you catch that?
Yes, I did. I was like, oh my God. Just bring the dog back. Can we go back to the dog? Please. Yes. No. Yeah. No. It's we're her descendants, Jason. People got paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to incorrectly write that dialogue.
No one wanted to correct Jane Seymour, I guess. Like, should we tell her? Like, no, it's fine. Just let it go. So, but they didn't even get her back for ADR or anything. So it's like, that's the antonym of what you just said. Like, jeez. Ancestors and descendants.
It's also a great metaphor for this plot line as well.
Exactly. But that's why she's like, you need to leave with me right now. Your life is in danger. The witch is going to kill our entire family. You know, he's like, I love Lana. I left once before. I'm not going to do it again. I'm like, oh, whatever. But anyway, all that to say, we have a reveal of Lana up on her, you know, balcony listening to this whole thing. And I thought to myself, wow, I hadn't even realized Lana was in this episode yet. 26 minutes in. Who is she? Lex Luthor? Come on. You got to remember she's in these episodes. Because Recruit... Like, Lex was in, like, it was like, took him, like, 30 minutes to
it
show
did.
Up.
No, because you've pointed that out before, so now when I watch it, I'm like, oh, look where we are.
Yeah.
Look, because like, to well, show up.
Lex Luthor, we're also paying Michael Rose's mom this week, so let's get him in for a couple cool scenes. So
I also say out loud, sorry, this is just me being a fangirl. I also say out loud, plus one hospital visit, or, like, plus one certain things when I see it now in the
Thank
episode.
You. Love it. It's the Pavlov test, Victoria.
Yes,
You're getting conditioned.
Way to keep it on theme.
That's right. So this has to be, up to this point in the show, the least Lana is ever in an episode. Like, I didn't count the minutes or whatever, but she's in this one little shot watching them talk. And then she's in that one scene at the end with Chloe. That has to be the least she's ever been in an episode to this point.
You would know better than I, so I believe you.
And that's why I like it so much. Hey-o. But anyway, so she hears that, so that we're going to have some follow-up with that. That's why you can't cut that scene. Then we have Clark and Lois, and they go back to the animal shelter because they think, okay, the only people who knew about the dog, you know, were Lex and Luther Corp or the guy at the animal shelter. Right?
Yeah.
So they jump over the fence and Lois lands in crap and she says, oh, crap. And Clark has a little smile. That's another gif from the episode. So, make sure to keep an eye out. That's where he has a little sly smile. Again, that chemistry playing between the two of them there. Now, then they go into the office there, or the whatever you want to call it, the back room. And she's like, hey, Clarky. And I love how he's like, he's serious, like he's focused looking for clues, but he's also like, we're not going to call him Clarky. We're going to call him like Bear or Bandit
cameo,
or something.
That's my dog's name. One of my dog's name is Bear.
There you go. Yeah, Bear. See, your dogs have a connection too. There you
go. Oh, yay, Bubba. Bear's nickname is Bubba. It's complex.
Bubba was the name of my teddy bear when I was a kid. Aww. So hashtag, it's all connected.
It's all connected. Veritas.
So Clark is using his x-ray vision. He finds the binder, the all-important Luthcore binder in a lock. By the way, one visit to this place, he's already broken two locks. Not suspicious at all, because he broke the lock to get in the back, breaks the lock in the locker, pulls out the binder, and then he can somehow deduce that, oh, well, they're clearly, you know, marking Luthcore vans. They're going to go rip them off. I'm like, okay, sure. Like, the guy should have taken the binder with him. That would be, right?
These guys aren't that bright. That tracks for me.
That's true. Now, Clark wants to run. He's like, hey, Lois, you call the police. I'm going to go run. She's like, whoa, what are you? You're so weird sometimes.
Yes, I loved that.
Calls him Forrest Gump, right?
Yes. And we get just like, because it's also like, dude, we're in like the middle of nowhere. You're just going to run somewhere. And yeah, I do like how that was like acknowledged. And then you have the scene afterwards where he's all fidgety in the car. Because she's going.
He's looking at the speed, like 35. Yeah, and it's like he could run so fast right now, but it makes sense that she'd be driving slower.
Yes,
because she just hit a dog, right? Yes. So she's being more cautious. So
you know what that is? That's growth.
That's right. See, she's an arc in this episode, guys. Yes. Okay. Yes. So she notice she's not on her phone either, you know. So Clark uses his super hearing because they're assumedly going toward where they had marked in their binder they were going to go. Although you think they would keep that piece of paper with them, but anyway, all that to say, the crime is taking place. They're ripping off some armored car, and assumingly there's a Luthcore connection to it. And Clark uses super hearing. They pull over there. Lois is like, "Why?" He's like, "Just do it. Just pull over." So they pull over. They're going to go. I like when they pull over, though. You can see the black gaff tape blacking out the brand of the car.
Yes! And I hated that. That made me so mad because my family had that car, like, at that time. Mm-hmm. It's an Envoy, I think. It's a GMC Envoy. And I was like, Lois and I are the same person. We have the same car. And I think you see the brand from the back, or you see the car model name. So then the fact that they just blacked out the front, I was like, come on, guys.
It's like when you see an Apple product and there's just a strip of tape on the back. I'm like, really? Like, we know what that is, but I understand. Your product placement is very important, and you got to be careful what you do and don't show in any show. So. Yeah. Now the brothers are the robbery is going on, and they finish. They put the dogs in the cages, and then Clark finds the dogs back there. But there's the vial of the kryptonite injection that gives them the steroid power, which we had established. They have to continuously get it.
Yes, because it wears off.
Yeah, which is very important. A very important plot point.
I'm just making the connection that steroid warbler is on the episode of Smallville with steroid dogs. Do you think this is how we got into roids? Will I be writing this crossover fan fiction? Probably.
That's true. Now, I don't know why they store it there, though. It's like kind of halfway off the edge of the cage. I'm like, guys, when you drive away, that's going to break. Like, you need that, right? That's like important. That's like important stuff. So he, they're going to drive off. But then Clark, you know, he opens up the door for Einstein. But then while he's doing it, the kryptonite splashes, and then like, you know, because apparently it's that released. Glass was made of lead because it didn't affect him before it splashed on the floor. But anyway, we'll ignore that.
We'll
and then he gets kind of incapacitated in the back of the truck.
Yeah.
And then the truck starts driving off, and then Einstein starts running after him. Because like, oh no, because I remember Einstein pulling him out of the car at some point. And I was like, is this it? But
it
I'm like,
not.
No, it's not it. They do get away. They get back to their their hideout. And then Lois sees that going down as well. But doesn't play in anything because she doesn't show up at the climax of the episode at all. So I don't know why they even made a note of seeing her coming out and seeing that happening. But anyway, when they get back to their hideout, or the animal, I guess either, no, it wasn't the animal shelter. It was like where they live. Cause Einstein followed him cause he knows where they are.
Yeah. Right? No, cause it's outdoors. Yeah. And it, yeah. And there's not like a parking lot or it doesn't look like a place of business.
Right. It's some shady old place in the woods. And these things, they're all over the place in those Canadian woods in Smallville. You know, so
a van down by the river.
So Josh, the older, like gruffer brother, you know, he's like, all right, we're going to burn the truck. We're going to burn the dogs. We're going to burn Clark. I'm like, whoa, this guy is like, are you serious? Because they're like, why is he barking back there? And they open up the back and they see Clark.
Yeah.
And they decide, and like, they're just going to kill them all. I'm like, oh my, but with fire? Oh my God.
That was intense. And also, again, I'm like, Clark will be fine. Somebody save those dogs.
Yeah. Exactly. Even the other dog. And we'll get to that here. But.
Again, Hercules is a product of nurture and not nature. He looks like a very nice boy, and he just needs someone to love him right.
I agree. Oh, I 100% agree with you. Now, so Einstein, he living up to his name, he is like the smartest dog ever, by the way. Because he shows up, he's like lurking around. Like you see the camera, the POV shot of the dog looking back and forth between, well, they're loading up money in the back of their car.
Right.
You know, the brothers are arguing, and the younger one's like, I didn't want this to happen. He's like, well, that's what's going on. Like, he's getting stronger into it, but he clearly could have stopped at any point. So really no sympathy for either of these guys. Honestly.
No, they all suck.
By the way, the other guy, he was in Pacific Rim. So that's what I know.
And then I just looked him up. He's also Regina's other boyfriend in Mean Girls. So really Hollywood royalty here.
Hollywood royalty. So those are those guys. Look out for them on Hulu, Netflix, and all your other streaming
Prime,
services.
Yeah.
So Einstein, he jumps in the back of the truck. He opens, there's little buttons to open the cages, right? He opens Clark's cage.
Yes.
Right. And then pulls him out. I'm like, oh, I'm getting the feels where he's pulling him out, right?
And I also love that that Einstein got to be the hero. Like it was actually kind of cool. Like. Because, again, we're at season 4, episode 70-something. Like, to actually have Clark be the one who's rescued by the dog in this, I thought was really smart and interesting. And just, like, a different, again, saved it from being too hokey. And I know he's, like, the smartest dog ever, but whatever. It's interesting and new.
He pulls Clark out, right? But they're kind of, Clark's still a little kind of, like, worn out. So they're just kind of, like, chilling out at the back of the van there.
Yeah.
And the brothers start the fire. He has like a what's that? What is that thing? The thing from Jurassic Park that. Yeah.
No, a stick of dynamite?
It's a it's a flare. It's a flare.
Yeah, okay, why I was like, this is excessive.
Like I thought we do the whole you have like a lighter and you drop it or something or a match. No, this guy has a freaking flare because there's gasoline all over everything.
Yeah.
So he drops the flare. It's in flames. Hercules starts barking, and then Clark and Einstein are on the side. Now, here's the thing, though. Einstein, he's not going to let his friend die, right? Even though they were at odds earlier.
He's such a good boy.
I'm literally, at this point, I am, like, choking up. I'm about to cry.
I'm getting so stressed out. I'm like, why did I do this? Why did I say it was okay for me to watch this episode and talk about it? Like, oh, my God. Baby doggy, it's going to be okay. Clark, get your together, Clark. Clark! Clark!
Yes! Move your ass. Einstein goes up to the back of the truck and then hits the button to let Hercules out.
Yeah.
So, but then the fire's over, right? So Hercules jumps out.
Yeah.
And the fire gets bigger and they're kind of looking at each other and Hercules kind of barks over to Clark to get his attention. Now, that's how I choose to see it.
Yes.
Like, hey, man, we got a situation here. Because, again, Hercules, not a villain, a victim of circumstance.
Thank you.
And I like to think he wandered off and found a nice farm that kept him for the rest of his life and he had a happy ending too.
Yeah. I'll write that fan fiction as well.
Now, Einstein is trapped in the back, right?
Puppy boy.
And Clark jumps on the jumps in the back of the truck, and this is like one of my favorite saves in the show. Like the kid in commencement, sure, but like him saving the dog here, I'm legitimately crying at this point. I think,
aww.
And it's like so the feels because like oh the dog saved him and now he's saving the
dog. And they love each other and they're the same.
It's gonna be okay. And then he super speeds away. But actually before that though, it's a very Superman moment. The guys are like gonna they're admiring the thing burning. They're gonna walk off and he's like, you guys going somewhere? And then he just throws them like 40 feet or whatever.
Yeah, which is very merciful of Clark because I'd be like.
Yeah, this is like animal cruelty. Like, there needs to be a much higher. Yeah, there needs to be a much higher fine for that. It's like, yeah. Honestly, people get slaps on the wrist, and it's like, no, do you guys not understand? I'm not saying that all animal abusers are psychopaths or serial killers or sociopaths, excuse me, but as I understand it, all serial killers and sociopaths used to abuse animals. So there is a connection there, people. So if we want to do some preemptive crime stopping and punish these people more because they're on a down path, because that's escalation, right? You start with animals, you advance to people. Like, yeah. It's just common sense. But anyway, all that to say, hey, we love animals. That's why we go on these soapbox comments. they're toast. We don't see them anymore. I assume they go away for a long time.
And then come back because, on Glee.
Our Pacific Rim.
Yes.
Then we get Clark saving the dog. The truck explodes, but he super speeds them far enough away where they're fine. And then they have their whole, like, you know, another gif this episode, you know, like rubbing the dog's head in the snow and he's like licking him. And I love that. But people say dogs are gross. I disagree. Now, I don't like kiss my dogs like on the tongue or whatever, like, you know, but I let them like, you know, lick me and stuff. Yeah. And I will kiss them on the head. Like, I, you know, you know what I'm saying here.
I so. Do. And also I do let my dogs kiss me on the mouth. So keep going. Okay. Blanca, the other dog, that we have, there's Bear and Blanca, and, we call her Missy Kissy because she's a big kisser and licker. So sometimes you can't always help it. It's not like always what I'm going for, but then sometimes you're just like, that just happened.
I understand. As I understand it, a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth because of the high temperature. So That's how they're able to kind of eat so many germs and many of the things they eat and not get sick. But seriously though, guys, like this little sequence here is my favorite of the whole show. Right? Because Superman and animals, it's like, oh, and dogs too.
So pure.
You know, Superman, he saves a cat out of a tree. I'm like, okay, sure. But you save a dog from an explosion, a dog that just saved your life, and a dog that put his own well-being at stake to save his friend, even though they were at odds earlier. Like, that's a true hero right there. So this is just the best.
It really is. And they're meant for each other. Like Clark and Einstein Crypto Shelby are meant for each other because they're both like good eggs and pure of heart.
So let me cut to commercial. We come back and Clark's getting Einstein. Like, I've been pretty good about getting the name straight.
You have. Like, I was when episode, we were booting up. I was like, Einstein, Crypto, Shelby, the artist formerly known as Prince. Like, he has a lot of different personas in this.
So he's getting checked out by the vet, and the vet's like, "Oh, he's good." And Clark's like, "I don't know. He's pretty strong. Is that?" And he's like, "No, actually, his strength is a little below normal," which is interesting that he's just an average, below average strong dog. It was those steroids that really did it. And that's good to know because now there's no more superpowers. So they're not dealing with that. You know, as they said in the companion, you establish this dog is a normal dog. It has no superpowers. The crypto thing is just an Easter egg. Because then Lex shows up, you know, because the vet asks him, like, "Oh, so what were you thinking of calling him?" It's like, "I was thinking of calling him Crypto." We're like, "Oh, okay." Plus one for episode title, said an episode.
There we go.
Way, did you say that out loud when you were watching?
I didn't. I was probably getting sleepy by then. So
that's
I apologize.
Okay. It's all right. Next time, you'll get it. You won't miss another one. So then it's funny. The vet sees Lex. There's like, "Okay, well, I'm going to go."
Okay, thank you, next.
So Lex walks up and he's like, "That's an interesting name." And then Einstein, or Crypto at this point, doesn't like him. He's kind of growling at him because animals can sense evil. So that shows you all you need to know. All right. If you want to do the sniff test on somebody,
they sense energies. That's like so real.
Is that why they call it a sniff test? Because if dogs don't like you, they're bad. Is that where the term comes from?
I don't know. But I just know that dogs read energies. And so if like the dog's getting a bad vibe, there's something to it.
So, Clark, you had all the sides were there, man. All the sides were there.
I know. This would be a much shorter series if Clark listened to his dog.
So, Clark really did mean to call him Crypto here, but that's going to change, Shirley. But I think, you know, and honestly, I think this is the only scene that Lex and this dog have together in the rest of the show.
Which, Michael Rosenbaum, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Maybe he was allergic to dogs. Maybe. Who knows? But anyway, we have our only true Lana scene is next. And it's Lana and Chloe, and they're in her apartment in the town, and she's had Chloe researching Jason, his entire family, because that's what her friend's for, right?
Oh, my God, Lana. It's like, we were so close. We almost got out, and then we didn't.
You had to have this scene, though, right? Because of that tag of the other scene. I mean, it was necessary, right?
Yes, it was. But, yeah, I just hate how much – I never noticed it when I was young and watching it the first time. But I'm like, God, they really exploit Chloe. Also, Chloe Get some self-respect. Grow a backbone. Be like, you Google it, girl. Like, come on.
you. I'm pretty sure you have the internet here.
The only baby rationalization, which I don't see as a rationalization, because also Lana could, like, do this in the library and not on her personal computer, is that she doesn't want Jason, like, finding, like, the search history. And that's why she farmed it out to Chloe, but it's still not cool.
That's true. That's a good point, because we're not sure if Jason lives there or not. It's very vague.
Very vague. But... is he in his fireplace apartment? No one knows.
The fireplace apartment. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for remembering that, Victoria. Yes. So what Chloe has come up with is that Genevieve's, like, great-grandma is the one, Gertrude, is the one that... that sentenced the Countess, and pretty much the stuff that Genevieve told Jason is the stuff that Chloe. That's great storytelling. Let's repeat information the audience already knows. So, gotta have this though. Can't have that Jane Seymour John Glover scene. You gotta have this repetition of information, right? She's traced the same things we know, and also this is actually something we didn't know. Genevieve or her ancestor, I forget, someone in her family line moved Isabel's tomb into a church, which is odd. Lana's like, why would they move a witch's tomb into a church, yeah, right?
That's a good point. I think it's Gertrude is their ancestor. They are their descendant, Genevieve. Get it right. but then I think she says, oh, because she talks about how their family line, like, disappears after, like, Genevieve's grandma. Like, it's like blank. It's like someone chopped off a branch or on the family tree. So clever. And but then she says the great-great-grandma, or, like, the furthest descendant they could find back, is the one who moved it into the church. So it's like Jason's great-grandma, great-great-grandma.
It's all very confusing, all very just very essential information, yes, for Smallville Season 4, right? But Lana recognizes the town in France they were from. She's like, that's where my ancestors are from. And I thought to myself, I assume on your mother's side... because remember, your dad's not your dad, Lana. So, unless Henry Small's ancestors were there from the Smallville, yeah, Smalls. There's that guy, huh? So, Lionel does make an appearance in this episode. He had two, yes, scenes. Now he has one. Jason comes to, like, pick up something from Luther Library. Lionel's there just reading the paper. He's like, how's the research going? Like, it's just John Glover, man. So good. This scene... again, it adds to the confusion, and I don't think the writers even knew what was going on at this point, because we had seen Lex look at the map he had on the computer earlier. Lionel's, like, kind of just toying with Jason. Oh, you're Genevieve Teague's boy. He does say, he's like, you can't trust your mother, and I already know you can't trust my son. And Jason's like, so I guess I should trust you, huh? So that's kind of a funny back and forth. And then he gives him an envelope. Classic Lionel's, like, there's envelopes being passed around. People don't know what's in it. He's like, open it. And it's the map from Lex's computer. So, like, did he print that out and give it to Jason? He's like, I think you'll find it useful. Like, who is he trying to help here? I don't understand. Do you understand?
No.
Can you help me?
Gosh, no. I'm just here to talk about dogs. I don't know. Who knows how Lionel does what he does? He's a mystery. He's an enigma. It's why we love him.
That is true. He, I mean, no matter what's going on, you are interested. Yeah. So that's the thing. Now that Lionel has kind of been brought more into this, like, stone witches stuff, it is a little more interesting. Yes. So, our final scene, we have Give a Little Bit.
Yeah.
The cover.
I was so into, right, that song. I was so into the Google Dolls. Give a little bit during this.
Give a little bit of your love.
I was so, and of course, I didn't know it was a cover. It was a Cheap Trick cover.
Yes. No, so the original version of that song played in Superman the movie. When Lois is driving around on the California coast, and when the earthquake, before the earthquake happened.
I think
happens,
I knew
so
that,
like it's
many, 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 many years ago. And now you're like it's all coming back to me. It's all coming back to me like Celine Dion.
Very good. So yes, so that's a cool, you know, it's a Lois and Clark scene. So it's cool to kind of bring that in, you know, from Lois to Lois. And yeah, this was a great jam of the mid-2000s for me. And Lois is giving the dog, yeah, a bath with red towels, of course, because as we discussed, that's the only blankets, towels,
it
handkerchiefs.
Has to be red.
It's all they have here.
It's not red. Get the out of this town. And excuse me for saying the F word.
No, we're going to bleep that out. Okay. That's funny, though. So I do. I have a little censor beep. So.
Okay.
You're good. Agreed. So Clark is repairing the barn here. Like I mentioned, like the dog formerly known as Shelby, currently known as Crypto, about to be named... No, formerly known as Einstein, currently referred to as Crypto, about to be named Shelby, broke it again. And Lois makes a comment, well, it took you long enough. So it ties into what they were saying about him taking forever to do stuff.
Got it.
Because he's just as incompetent as the rest of us, guys. He just has super speed. So he could be making, like, 10,000 mistakes, but we never know because he does it so fast. So that gives me hope because I'm not Tim Taylor over here myself. So they're giving the dog a bath there, yes. And then the kids come up and they decide because they're still going back and forth about the name, right? It's like, we're not gonna call him Clarky. You know, they're throwing all these names, and John's like, well, you gotta pick a name if you're gonna keep it. And Clark's like, really, Dad?
Can
we keep him? that was very.
And then can we go to Disney World?
Yes. And if you're good, we'll get ice cream after your chores are done.
Yeah.
So Clark says, well, we're going to name him Crypto. And Lois is like, that's a stupid name. Why? Because he's so cryptic like you. And I loved how she knew the reason
that
he named it that. That shows like a funny connection between two of them. Like she's starting to understand this weirdo that she lives with.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you can tell he's like, well, come on. That was a cool name.
It was an artsy name. And there's a real reason. There's another reason. Okay, Lois, get over it.
And she says, you can name your next dog Crypto, which is like the most Smallville line ever. Am I right?
Yes, so right.
Martha does say, she's like, well, you know, when I was young, we had a dog named Shelby. He looked just like this. And I think that's why I liked him so much. And they're like, fine, Shelby it is. I can live with that. So yeah. Shelby it is. And
compromise.
The dog immediately knows its name because Clark picks up a frisbee. Like, come on, Shelby, let's go. So
he is a smart dog. We've established that. He can keep up.
We play out to the Goo Goo Dolls. Give a little bit of your love to me. It's great. He's playing. It's been a lonely year for Clark because Pete's gone. He's not playing basketball anymore. Lex isn't his friend. He's not talking to Lana. It's a tough year, but he's got his dog to play frisbee with.
Alicia was brutally murdered.
That is an excellent point. We didn't mention that. So that's the great. Look, guys, if you're in a relationship and it ends for whatever reason and you're feeling down, go adopt a dog. All right? But remember, a dog is a commitment. So if you're going to get a dog, it takes self-sacrifice. So don't willy-nilly give people dogs for gifts or adopt them for yourself. Or if you're not going to be home a lot, you got to consider these things. You got bigger dogs. You got to live in a bigger house. You got to give this dog a yard. You know, you got to take it on walks. Luckily for Clark, he lives on a farm.
So it's so good.
Which is, to me, it's shocking they didn't have a dog already. It's a farm. Like, that's like.
I feel like, you know what? But Mrs. and Mr. Kent, they have a lot on their hands already.
Look at the bills.
They're literally like a hair's breadth from financial ruin, and their son is an alien. Like, you know what, Zach? They're doing a lot. They're doing the most, I would argue.
Those two bags of dog food a month are really pushing them over the edge, I guess, right? Here's Clark is a super powered being who does his skills at super speed. It's like, if they didn't have that, it's like you have that advantage over everybody else on this planet, and you're still barely making ends meet. I question some of your guys' financial decisions over the years. That's all I'm going to say.
So, what are we going to call him? And don't give me any of the skipper crap.
I was thinking we'd call him Crypto.
Why? Because he's so cryptic like you? I don't think so.
Why not?
Because I think it's dumb. You can call your next dog Crypto. Look, it's not that hard. Max, Lucky, Rocky, Bailey, Scamp, Monty, Bud.
Hey, you're going to have to pick one of those if you want to keep him.
Crypto got an 8.2 out of 10 on IMDb. And Neil Bailey from the Superman Hove Age gave it a 4 out of 5.
Oh, he's really warming up to these.
he really has. He even mentions that it's probably one of his favorite episodes of the season because there was a stretch of some really low rankings for Neil Bailey. But hey, dogs. They solve everyone's problems.
Good news, everyone. Dogs.
So, Victoria, what would you give Crypto on the letter grade scale?
Okay. You're going to think this is harsh.
Oh, no. Oh, no. What's it going to be?
B minus.
All right.
I love dogs.
I admire your professionalism and you're able to separate your love for dogs from a non-biased analysis of a television episode.
Yeah. I feel like there were, like, as much as I liked it, I feel like Tom and Erica saved it with the banter, which made it watchable. But there's just the Stones of Power kill me. And then also, I didn't think the guest stars were great or added anything. They were really hokey. Obviously, the two dog guest stars were the standouts. And also,
Bug the Dog and Bear the Dog, I believe was the name of Hercules, was Bear.
And then, I just also feel like, Oh, and then also the fact that they cut the Genevieve Lionel scene. Like, what? What are you doing? So yeah, I don't know. Again, it wasn't bad. As much as I love dogs, it's not a particularly memorable or favorite one for me. And there are some problems with it.
Fair enough. Now, let me just correct myself there. Bud the dog.
Bud.
Played Einstein / Shelby / Crypto. And then Bucks the dog.
Bucks.
Played Hercules. So plural. So take that as you will. Yeah, you know, I'm in a tough spot here because I love dogs and I got the feels. Like there's only like literally, I'm not even joking. All right. Like there's about 5 episodes of Smallville that made me like choke up.
Yeah.
Possibly tear up. This is one of them. So totally I think fair. That deserves an extra little boost just because of those moments. So you're gonna think this might be high, but I'm gonna give it a B+.
No, that's perfect. I respect that.
Good. Because, you know, it's not, I mean, the guest stars, the brothers, the plot, the acting, the despicability of it all.
Yeah.
Just really does bring it down.
Yeah.
And you do have the random like Genevieve stuff, but like you leave out like the most essential scene. Like it's a mystery of the season. How did Lionel get out of jail? How's this all tied together? What's their relationship together? Like that explains a lot of things. And they're like, yeah, it's okay. We don't need that. So a B- for you, a B+ for me.
Yes.
Let's go down the tally board.
Great.
We have a +1 for blue shirt, red jacket. So that brings us to 19.
Oh my goodness. It feels like so much more.
Yeah. Well, no. It really starts to crank up like
season
this season and then onwards.
Yeah.
Because like 5, 6, and 7, he wears it like every other episode. I keep saying that. We'll see. Well, that's why I do this tally board. It's interesting to see the numbers, right? An episode title, said an episode. It's +1. It's 32 so far. A number that is not disappointing so far is the hospital visit. We have a +1. We have 61. Victoria. 61.
Oh my gosh.
And then finally, the Bechdel test. I'm going to call this one a pass because I feel there's enough scenes to like Lois and Chloe or Martha and Lois. Or I mean, there's little bits and pieces here.
Talking about men? See, the problem is like between the only one that comes to mind. Okay. I think it does pass because of the, but I don't know because they don't both speak. I was going to be like
I thought about that too. Phone calls, one-sided phone calls, like when Martha used to call Nell and we never saw Nell.
But
the moment that made me think it passed was when Lois and Martha are cleaning up the table.
Oh, okay. Does it count because Crypto's a boy dog?
Well, they're not, they're talking about cleaning up.
Oh, okay.
They're not really.
Oh, sandwiches tonight.
You can
sandwiches
talk about
tonight.
A boy dog.
Sandwiches tonight. Sorry. Yes. Okay, I'm going to give it a pass.
Sandwiches tonight.
#hashtag sandwiches tonight.
Oh my gosh. So there you have it. It is a pass. So there you go. There's Crypto. I hope you guys enjoyed us talking about our love for animals and dogs. I don't get an opportunity to talk about this in this format very often. So I will take the opportunity when I get the chance because I love dogs. So.
Dogs.
So Victoria, people want to hear you more. Talk about dogs more. Where can they find you?
I'm sure after this rambling like board vomit. Yes, but I do co-host a podcast all about fandom and examining it from a female perspective and celebrating everyone in fandom. Zach is on episode 24 of the Your Biggest Fangirl podcast. And you can check us out on your favorite podcatcher or at yourbiggestfangirl.com. And you can follow us on social media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at YBFG podcast and on Tumblr at yourbiggestfangirl.tumblr.com.
It's very impressive. You always remember what episode number I'm on.
I don't have as many as you.
So guys, check them out for me and stay for everything else because it really is a great podcast. I do recommend.
Oh, thank you so much. Yay.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. Also host another podcast, Standard Orbit, on the Trek FM podcasting network. We talk about all things Captain Kirk and the Enterprise over there. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. As for the podcast, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with 1S. Find us on Facebook at Always Holding to Smallville. You can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with 1S. Well, that's going to do it
Yay.
For this episode of Always Holding to Smallville. But stay tuned next time we talk about Sacred. The one where they go to China.
China. Definitely not Vancouver. China.
Yeah. I know, right? It's so clearly a Chinatown somewhere. Man, China really looks like the Pacific Northwest. So,
who knew?
Until then, always hold on to Smallville. So give a little bit.